KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 19 days to Election Day, but early voting's already begun in 47 states and Washington, D.C. as the presidential candidates continue to make their cases. Vice President Kamala Harris sat for a Fox News interview. She talked about former President Donald Trump describing Democrats as the enemy within.
He has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy.
Trump took questions from Hispanic voters during a Univision town hall. The Los Angeles Archdiocese making another large payment to victims of sexual abuse by the clergy. The $880 million settlement payment comes against decades of allegations. And three people died, four were seriously hurt when a bridge being prepared for demolition collapsed in Simpson County, Mississippi. This is ABC News. Despite calls for clemency from dozens of lawmakers in Texas across the political spectrum, as well as doctors and judges, a man convicted in the death of his two-year-old son is set to be put to death today.
This is Jim Ryan. Shaken baby syndrome has been largely discredited as junk science, and the Texas House Committee on Criminal Jurisprudence met yesterday to discuss Robert Roberson's conviction. As a strong supporter of the death penalty, committee member Brian Harrison says, nonetheless,
I think it is incumbent upon us to be the most vigilant in ensuring that innocent people are never subjected to it.
The committee voted unanimously to subpoena Roberson to appear at another hearing next Monday. He's to be put to death this evening. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Police in Tennessee now say FEMA workers trying to help victims of Hurricane Helene were harassed by people with guns. Nobody was hurt. And the TSA is advising people to leave their swords at home after stopping a woman at LaGuardia Airport with a samurai sword. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee have ended their week-long strike. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee machinists and Molson Coors have reached a deal. Both the company and the union are expressing satisfaction with the new three-year agreement. Specific terms have not been made public. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The number of absentee ballot drop boxes has gone way down in Wisconsin from 4 years ago. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there were more than 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Now she can only confirm about 78 of them in 42 communities. While that is a steep drop, the number could be higher because there is no requirement for the state's 1,850 local election officials to report the use of drop boxes, according to Wolf. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers with a new place kicker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers signed place kicker Brandon McManus after he was cleared by the NFL last week. Two flight attendants aboard a Jaguars team plane to London last year accused McManus of sexual assault. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he trusts the league's findings.
Yeah, I think I'm, going through the details with them. And I'm not going to get into the details, but we felt very good about their investigation and what they got out of it to make us comfortable with this move.
McManus worked out with the team and says he's grateful to be back in the NFL.
It's been a difficult time this past couple months, and I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity, and I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
NBA, the Bucks and the Mavericks tonight in Dallas in the final preseason game. Doc Rivers hoping his team improves on defense. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight it'll be clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with the help of Eric Hulse of Colonel Popcorn in the Wisconsin Dells. And mafia expert Robert Dennis joins the show to talk mob movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
It's a beautiful morning.
First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's the John and Gordy Show for a Thursday on 92.7 WMDX, and it's going to be a gorgeous day. Lots of sunshine, highs in the low to mid-60s. Right now, 42 degrees, and Terry Bell joins us from the newsroom. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing well.
Good. What's a big story for you today?
Well, believe it or not, politics.
Well, no.
What a shocker. Wait a minute. Come on.
We don't talk politics on this show.
True story. Yeah.
Really?
Well, the vice president's going to be in Wisconsin today. Three different stops, Milwaukee, wow. Green Bay, and La Crosse. So she's going to be rather busy here all day today. And her visit here comes as a couple other things are going on in Wisconsin. Three, really, if you think about it. One is that we found out yesterday is that the number of absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin, a lot fewer than 4 years ago. I'll give you some idea. There were 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. All right. This year, the Election Commission can confirm 78 in 42.
No.
What?
Wow.
So, yeah, we went from 500 drop boxes to 78. And 430 communities to 42.
That is just so unbelievable.
That's stunning.
I mean, before the controversy of drop boxes even started, we were using drop boxes all across the state. That's why we had so many of them.
And they were pretty widely accepted, too.
They were.
It wasn't
accepted
until 2020 that they became politicized.
Right. Trump brought attention to it, and suddenly they were really horrible and bad. And now we've got, you know, very conservative communities taking those drop boxes out. Mm-hmm. Making citizens' ability to vote more difficult.
And you have one little municipality way up in northern Wisconsin that took away its one electronic voting machine, which is not too great for people with disabilities who need that to vote. So there's that. What else is going on in politics? It's hard to keep track. Text messages. So a lot of young people, college age or so, are getting some text messages which contain some pretty ominous warnings about fines for voting twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume this is aimed at students from out of state, but I imagine all kinds of
people. So they got a list from the university?
These numbers, I mean, I get text messages all the time about the package at the post office needs to be picked up. Your number gets sold.
Oh, something like that, yeah.
You buy something and then somebody sells that number to somebody else who uses it, and that's where you get all that.
Well, Terry, we're trying to line up somebody from the UW and make it clear to college students what they can or cannot do when they vote. Mm-hmm. You know, can they vote here in town? This is their address now. Or should they vote back home? Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to get somebody in here to clarify that issue for them, hopefully before the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And then to make matters crazier, in Westfield, just a short drive up the road north mm-hmm. of us, mm-hmm. All three election workers in that village quit.
What?
Recent days.
Wow, what are they going to do?
What were the reasons? I mean,
Reason has to do with some dispute over a recall election for some local official. Mm-hmm. The deputy county clerk is going to run the election in Westfield in November, and after that, they should have things figured out.
Sounds like a busy person.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Terry, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Terry Bell, our news director for Civic Media. All right.
All right.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com.
Well, the big story that hit the fan, I was going to use a profanity, but it
please
hit the
don't.
Fan.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't. I've only been doing
Let's
this for like 50
up,
or 60
it's
years.
It's a family show.
My remember? Friend has reminded me of my professional status here. All right. Well, I retained some of that professional status.
Just a little.
Yes. Kamala was on Fox News.
Oh, yeah. Talking to Brett Baer.
Yeah. And Brett Baer tried to slip one over. Mm. She would not have it. And, you know, I have my mega friend in Milwaukee gives me a call and gives me updates about his impressions of certain things.
Yeah,
and,
what did you
and,
think
and,
of that interview?
And that interview, it was a disaster for her. She's never going to become president now after that interview on Fox News because, boy, she just couldn't answer any of the questions. You know, for some reason, I saw it the other way. But, you know,
yeah, I guess,
you know.
She did really well. Well,
Democrats, they're always lying. You know, my friend always says they're always lying, you know, because Trump never does. Okay. So anyway, this is Chris Hayes talking about what happened on that show. Let's listen to cut number 128.
Brett Baer came at Kamala Harris with every attack in the Trump playbook, including one moment where he got caught using an edited soundbite of Trump.
If you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people, suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question to the former president today. Harris Faulkner had a town hall, and this is how he responded.
I heard about that. They were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's right. True.
We've
no, but
question.
Think of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated. When he's speaking about the American people, that's not what you just showed.
Well, he was asked about that specific...
No, that's not what you just showed in all fairness and respect to you.
I'm telling you that was the question that we asked him.
You didn't show that, and here's the bottom line. He has repeated it many times, and you and I both know that. And you and I both know that he has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree. Agree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America, should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it. And this is what is at stake, which is why you have someone like the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying what Mark Milley has said about Donald Trump being a threat to the United States of America.
He's quoted in the Bob Woodward book that way, yes.
Baer just used a soundbite to try to clear Donald Trump of saying a thing in which he cut out the part where he says it. Watch.
It is the enemy from within, and they're very dangerous. They're Marxists and communists and fascists, and they're sick. I use a guy like Adam Schiff because They made up the Russia hoax. It took 2 years to solve the problem. Absolutely nothing was done wrong, et cetera, et cetera. They're dangerous for our country. We have China, we have Russia, we have all these countries. If you have a smart president, they can all be handled. The more difficult are, you know, the Pelosi's, these people, they're so sick and they're so evil. If they would spend their time trying to make America great again, we would have, it would be so easy to make this country great. But when I heard about that, they were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. Sure. They're the ones doing the threatening.
You see what they did there? On their own network. Like, we could, we also, we have recording equipment here at 30 Rock, other places where we can just grab that. So he said, he repeated, they are the enemy within. They're sick people. They're evil. He repeated it. And then Bret Baier's like, let me play you what he said today. He just cut out the big chunk. Well, it is the same playbook we see over and over from Fox. Yeah. Kamala Harris called them out. It wasn't about let Fox get away with it. And I think we all know that after this, Donald Trump has no choice but to come on MSNBC for an interview.
Flip it around. Boy, I love
it. Yeah, he did edit out quite a big chunk there.
That was quite the chunk. I want to play the actual comment from Trump on that. Let's listen to that.
Let's remember, you've got 50,000 Chinese nationals in this country in the last couple of years. Yeah. You have people on the terrorist watch list, 350 in the last couple of years. You've got, like you said, 13,000 murderers and 15,000 rapists.
Right.
What are you expecting? Joe Biden said he doesn't think it's going to be a peaceful election day.
Well, he doesn't have any idea what's happening in North America. He spends most of his day sleeping. I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within. Not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the big, and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military, because they can't let that happen.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what he said.
That's what he continues to say.
Yeah, we really can't edit that up. Uh-uh. I mean, that certainly is a kind of a scary, very scary thought. And I think it's good that the Harris-Walls campaign is picking up on this. This is something to definitely stress, because he has called each one of these individuals, all these candidates, dangerous and terrorists. And you know that he's going to go after these people. And, you know, a lot of these megas out there, they think, well, it's not going to affect them. But who knows? Maybe a service that they need or have to get will suddenly become a target of the administration and they'll lose it.
John, let's go to the phone lines here. Mark is standing by with a question or a comment. Good morning, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I heard a little synopsis of good old Bret Baier. That apparently in 2020, when Fox News had announced that Biden had won, Bret Baier was, you know, behind the sidelines there trying to get Fox to withdraw that and say, well, no, you know, that Biden hadn't won, and change the whole narrative there, because Bret Baier is in Donald Trump's pocket. He's his little pocket poodle, and as if Trump needs another pocket poodle with it, considering all the sycophants and bootlickers that he has surrounding him. It is just, you know, Kamala Harris took him apart. And MAGA will not admit that, I imagine, but MAGA is willing to go along with, like apparently, you know, from some of the stuff I read about the Nazis, the German people were, let Hitler sway their emotions and not and shut down their intellects, and they were willing to go ahead and, you know, murder fellow citizens, as they did to, you know, the Jews and all the other people that Hitler decided was his enemies. And Trump is...
He's come right out and said it, Mark.
Yeah, going right down that road.
He's going after the people. He's going after his opponents.
Yeah. Very good, Mark. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah,
got to move along.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we got a note here that the Spectrum Internet is out.
That's
maybe
what we're
hearing. Maybe they're back at this point, I hope. Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we'll check
out more.
Yes, we've got a lot more. Brittany Merlot coming up with a check of our weather right here on 92.7 WMDX.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
My name is Arlene Meyer. I am with Senior Voters for CARE, Wisconsin. I have farmed, driven a school bus, served on the county board, and raised four sons. Now, I am a resident at Pinecrest, the nursing home owned by Lincoln County. I believe in free and fair elections. It is the right of every American to vote, and I encourage everyone to exercise it. This November 5th, I'm casting my vote for Senator Tammy Baldwin. Living in a nursing home, I understand the skill, the commitment, and the compassion that is required to provide high-quality care. Senator Baldwin understands this too. That's why she's working to raise wages for care workers across the state, including in small towns like mine. Vote for Senator Tammy Baldwin on November 5th.
Paid for by Movement Strategy Center Action Fund, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. MSCActionFund.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Listen. Saving a lot on a comfortable mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee is easy. Why? Because we make our mattresses right at the store. Yeah, we cut out the middleman, and voila, you got it. We pass the savings directly on to you every day. So hurry in today to your local Verlo, where there are no middleman markups. Wake up, sleep better, and save at Verlo.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show. And a good morning to you.
Good morning. 21 past the hour. Highs today in the low to mid-60s. We'll get to Brittany Merlot in just a moment. Time to give away another pair of Charlie Barron's tickets. This show is sold out. It's next Tuesday at Comedy on State, right below us, a couple of floors this building, right on State Street, across from the Overture Center. And let's give those tickets out via text. You can text us on the Civic Media app or at 608-879-8255. Mm-hmm. What should we go with for their keyword? What do you think, Sam?
Should we put me on the spot. I gave you a couple suggestions, and you shot them down.
I did. How about camo? Camo. Sure. You know, Charlie wears camo. A lot of camo,
okay,
right?
Let's use camo.
C-A-M-O.
Okay. Text us with that word, camo. And you could be going to the Charlie Barron Show. It's all to help out, and donations go to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
All right.
And presentation of WMDX Radio and Civic Media. Okay.
Yeah, we're right upstairs. Stop up.
Yeah.
Check out our locked doors.
Okay. Sure, why not? Let's talk to Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, good.
You're
good.
Always fantastic.
We love the weather that we've had in Wisconsin the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
been beautiful, and I guess we're expecting plenty of sunshine today, right?
We are. That sun isn't going anywhere. This huge high-pressure system is staying put. The only thing that's changing today is two things. We're warming up, and we're getting windy.
Oh, I like both.
Oh,
yeah.
Real windy. I still haven't taken down my gazebo tent in the back patio.
I think you're fine. You're totally fine. Yeah, I think we're going to hit gusts in Madison about 30 miles per hour. Ooh, you'll probably feel a little more later on this afternoon and evening. So I think your tent's going to hold up just fine.
I was going to say, but I think no your gazebo burning. Is actually a kite now.
Well, I've got it all tied down, and I've got my neighbors watching it. So,
yeah, I think it's probably a neighborhood eyesore at this point. And they can't wait for that thing to come down. Yeah.
No.
Right?
No.
Blame the wind.
It's not
neighbors, now your chance.
That's right.
So it's been nice and clear, and a few days ago we were talking about the Northern Lights, but now the supermoon is happening, right? Is it? Tell us about this. And it's happening, I guess, through Friday, so you can still see it. I was checking out the moon last night. It was bright and beautiful. It looks like a full moon. And
it does.
Yeah. So why is this a super moon?
So this is the fourth consecutive supermoon that we've had. So we've had them in a row here. And what makes it a supermoon is that it's moving closer to Earth, right? So it appears much bigger, larger, especially on that horizon, and brighter too. Now, it technically isn't brighter. It just looks that way to us. So that's what a supermoon is. It's just it's orbiting a little bit closer, and it appears so much bigger and brighter.
I hear that Marvel is probably going to create a series about the supermoon soon.
Like a superhero?
Yeah.
Supermoon? I would watch.
Everything is super.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay. Yeah, we can throw it back.
There was also a comet, too, I think, last night. Oh, I missed it. No kidding. I was not aware of it, but I was seeing posts about it, that this comet had passed by after sunset last night. So maybe someone saw it.
Just missed destroying the Earth.
Okay.
Got it.
What's happening this weekend? Things continuing to warm up?
Well, we'll stay a little bit windy tomorrow, but we'll climb to the upper 60s, and then we're going to hit low to mid 70s on both Saturday and Sunday. No rain in the forecast until next week still. So just a gorgeous weekend, especially with those fall colors popping. Come visit me up here, you guys. Let's go on the chairlift up Granite Peak.
Is that what you want to do? Is that what you're up for?
All right. I'd love that.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that.
Be fun.
Come
on.
All right. You bet.
All right. Well, thanks for the invite. All right, Brittany. Thank you so much.
I'm going to look up Granite Peak and see what we're getting into.
Where exactly is that?
It's Red Mountain.
So it's in Red Mountain, Wausau area, central Wisconsin. Take 39 north. You'll find it. You can't miss it. And hop on that chairlift. It's, I think, the tallest point in Wisconsin. Wow. And those colors are fire right now.
Well, thanks for the challenge.
All right.
Okay, good. All right. I'm expecting you're not coming. All right.
No, we want to.
We'd love to.
All right.
Okay. I'll see you then. Yeah,
okay, take care.
Bye.
Thank you, Brittany. That's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
I'll tell you what, we don't have a lot of time for the Trump cut I wanted to play here.
Okay.
So let's go right to Tim Walz. He had a few comments about the White House, getting to the White House. Let's check out. This is cut 129.
Okay.
All right. This is Tim Walz.
Here we go.
I'm going to clear this up right at the beginning. I came just a few minutes ago from Lambeau Field. First visit, my staff was like, don't say anything about the Vikings. I said, that's like telling somebody not to swear in church. Of course you don't do that. What do they think? I'm a football guy. That's like a religious experience over there.
Yeah.
But look, we may not see eye to eye on that part of it, but I can tell you what, we're all going to agree on this. This year, the road to the Super Bowl, the road to control of the Senate, and the road to the White House goes right through the NFC North.
All right, man.
That's a good comment.
He's great. He really is a great candidate. And now he wants to actually kind of, big happy birthday to Gus, his son, 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And this is cut 130. Let's play that.
For the gray hairs in here, or those of you who aren't gray hair, if you're caught in that sandwich generation, if you're like me, I got a nearly 90-year-old mom, and I, as of yesterday, I have an 18-year-old son on this. So there we go. Gus turned 18 yesterday, and he said, Dad, you're working hard to get my vote. So there it is. But if you're in that generation, you're concerned about costs. You're concerned about apprenticeship programs or college. You're also concerned about Medicare and care for those parents. Kamala Harris proposed what I think is the most groundbreaking change to Medicare in maybe the last 50 years, the ability to pay for home health care for our seniors when they're at home.
Yeah, that's never brought up. That's never brought up by the other side ever. In order to change some of these programs and make it more beneficial to the public, and that's what we're kind of missing on the Trump side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff. And now Trump is out there bragging about January 6th as a day of love.
Yeah.
He's calling it the day of love.
The summer of love?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Don't really recall a lot of love happening.
No, I don't remember
that
either.
January 6th during the insurrection.
Not a lot of paisley shirts in the crowd. I think it was more camo shirts than
probably
anything else.
So. Yeah, that was not.
Maybe
the
they
day
were paisley
love.
Camo shirts.
Do they make those?
Now there's an idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Market that.
All right. Coming up next, Scott Klug will join us, and John and Scott will get into their usual arguments about gas stoves and see if we can come to any kind of conclusion on that. All that and more on the John Gordy Show at 92.7 WMDX.
As we were saying, it's the John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Looks like enrollment in the state's Farmland Preservation Program is higher this year. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Why are the numbers up and by how much? Well, I've got that next.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Wednesday Coy is the Farmland Preservation Program Manager at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She said so far they've seen more than 2,000 acres enter the program since last year, much of the interest due to the increased incentives the state legislature passed in December 2023. She says the program's now attracting some new geographic interest.
We've also seen an increased number of folks interested in signing up for a farmland preservation agreement. We had about 30 this year come forward and put in an application, which is great because that shows that people are interested in participating in this program. And the feedback we've heard from them is that they really like that they can have a 10-year agreement versus a 15-year agreement, although we have had a couple of those landowners request to have a higher agreement length and go back to that 15 years. So that's been really good.
Wednesday Coy with the Farmland Preservation Program at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She says a new region they're seeing interest from is the Northwoods. She said the increase is likely because more farms are viable for the Farmland Preservation Program under recent changes.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And October is National Firewood Awareness Month. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says firewood can harbor tree-killing pests and diseases. So they remind people, buy firewood near where you'll burn it. Buy certified firewood. Look for the state or federal seal. And gather firewood on site when permitted. More on that available at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight it'll be clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll break down Vice President Harris's interview with Fox News and a what's worse. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And that is a wonderful morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX.
We have a winner. Right?
We do have a winner, and we want to say congratulations to Danette. Danette, we'll be in touch with you. You're going to the Charlie Baron Show next Tuesday at Comedy on State, brought to you by Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also Civic Media and WMDX Radio. Should be a great show.
You
enjoy
think so?
It. Yes, I think it's going to be fabulous.
All right. Well, he's a comedian. He should be funny, I think, right? Okay.
Everybody loves Charlie Baron. Come on. Well, yeah, great.
I tell you what, I'm kind of lost in the middle here.
What's that?
Well, our special guest, Scott Klug, is in the studio with us.
Yeah, good morning, Scott.
Last time he
was
here.
Can you see the middle from that far left?
Oh.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Boy, this is it. We're going to get to the gas stove issue a little bit later. Maybe, if we have time, because we have really an important discussion here about how to vote. I caught one of your podcasts where you were talking about different ways that we could revamp the voting system that we have in this country. And it was just a really fascinating program. Great, great blog. I mean, it was really a great show. I want to play the intro to what one person, one guest on your show said. And do you have let's see here. It is cut 123.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Here we go.
The U.S. is a tremendous outlier. The U.S. is really the only advanced democracy in the world with just a two-party system.
He concedes the system worked well for two centuries, but not really anymore.
This two-party system worked reasonably well for a while in the U.S. because it actually wasn't really a two-party system.
That's right. So let's talk about that. I mean, this seems like a broken system at this point anyway, right?
Well, if you look around the world, the people who are happiest with their political system actually tend to be in the Nordic countries. Mm-hmm. So Denmark, Sweden are really the two that sort of jump off the page. You'll see really high ratings also for the Netherlands and for Finland. And people will point at those and say, well, it works well and everybody loves it. And I have to point out the fact that all of those countries actually have kings and queens, and that really didn't work out very well for the monarchy when they tried that fight here. But the point is, you can look at multi-party democracies that work really, really well, and then you can point your finger at Israel and Italy, which basically have elections about every 5 weeks. So I think at the end of the day, every system has got cracks and challenges, but some people I think are so frustrated now with the monopolies of the Republicans and the Democrats, they like to see them broken apart to see where we get.
Well, they've swung so extreme. At least I think the mega side is very, very extreme at this point. You know, asking the military to maybe go after liberals seems a little on the extreme side. If you could cue up cut 120.
Not if I get to pick the liberals.
Case.
All right. Cut 124, and I want to get the length of the cut is 154. All right. Okay. Could you play that cut?
You got it?
Yeah.
There are two cuts.
What's special about the length of it?
Because there are two cut 124s, I believe.
Oh, geez. You really cannot count, can you?
Well, no, I had to redo it. I redid the cut. So you have it?
Yes.
All right. Thank
Just
you.
Play it.
At the end of the day, voting should be simple, easy to understand, and anybody should be able to do it. And I think that ranked choice voting fails all of those tests, frankly. It makes voting a lot more complicated than it needs to be.
Jacob Posick is the legislative director at the Maine Policy Institute.
In Maine, since we have had RCV on the books, negative campaigning of all kind has gone through the roof. The amount of expenditures that are made by third-party groups, it went from, you know, the last gubernatorial primary in Maine had no negative spending. Then we get RCV and there's hundreds and thousands of dollars spent negative campaigning.
The Alaska election has sparked a national fight over the new voting methodology. This summer, five states banned it from ever being adopted, joining another five with a ban already in place. Hell, even Alaska is unsure. There's a proposed measure this fall to repeal ranked voting. But research by Jason McDaniel at San Francisco State says those local elections have significant issues that should not be overlooked. People are often puzzled by the multiple voting dates and make ballot marking mistakes. Confusion's very high for people with lower education levels, and especially for immigrants who aren't native English speakers.
Right away, I was like, this sounds like a kind of reform, progressive era reform, that what it does is it makes the voting task harder and will probably lead to less turnout and will probably lead to more ballot errors.
Are you really going to know who these people are and what they stand for? I think you're just going to be bewildered.
So it's going to be uninformed choices. What will often be the case, I think, is they'll use race, ethnicity, last name, gender. Those things will come into play more, and there's research to support this, in that context, because they need something to rank them. And there's no guarantee they know policy differences, ideological differences.
That seems like that would have been an obvious part of this whole debate. And getting confused, not knowing the dates, who represents what, I mean, the number of candidates. And then, of course, they were talking about the idea that negative campaigning went through the roof when these when ranked choice voting came into power.
Yeah, let's spend a minute talking about what it is.
Yes.
So normally you go in and it's, you know, the two of you on the ballot and it's pretty easy. Ranked choice voting basically creates a large primary. And in the primary, everybody runs against each other and they don't run by party affiliation. So mm-hmm. just as John Gordy Scott.
Right.
Then what happens is, and there's the most logical variation, understand, is final five. So you have five candidates. When number five falls off, his or her votes then get redistributed to the four candidates mm-hmm. that remember. Then number four drops off to three and then eventually end up with two. The theory behind it is that you end up with more moderate candidates because what you end up with is people will coalesce about somebody who's more in the center and the extremes will fall away faster. So it's a nice argument on paper. In Alaska, it had an interesting result because a Democrat got elected to the House seat for the first time in like 48 years.
Right.
And people point to her voting record because she ran saying, I'm going to be a moderate Democrat and break party ranks. And she does. If you look at an average Democratic member of the House, she breaks ranks with the party far more often. But if you look at Alaska's Senator Lisa Murkowski, she probably has the second most independent record of any Republicans in the Senate, and she got elected the old-fashioned way just by running against a Democrat. So the question gets to be, can you roll this out? Does it really intend what it does? And we're 2 points. One, we're in sort of a new progressive era, I think. People mm-hmm. are frustrated with the way elections work. A lot of conversations about campaign finance reform, a lot of conversations about redistricting. You know, if you look at the House of Representatives, of the 435 members, there are only 17, listen to this number, 17 who got elected of a different party than the president who carried it. So if you look in Dane County, could you elect a Republican representative, as I once served, and then have Kamala Harris carry it? Hmm. That really doesn't happen very much. In the Senate, there's only one candidate, Susan Collins in Maine, who got elected when Joe Biden carried the state of Maine. So we've ended up with these lockstep districts and sort of, you know, we end up sort of pushing people to the right and the left. So one idea is multi-party democracy, break it apart. So we've got six or seven parties. Another idea is redistricting reform. A third is ranked choice voting. And then the fourth one, there's still about 20 states in the country that have closed primaries. Mm-hmm. So if you go to vote in Ohio, you have to register. So either has to be a Republican or a Democrat. And when you walk in, you get the Republican ballot. That's the one you got to fill out. Some states like New Hampshire, you can be unaffiliated. And you go in and say, this year I want the Republican ballot. Next year, maybe I'll take the Democratic ballot. There's very few states that let you sort of shop like in a grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, you can't vote for the Republican guy for Senate and then turn around and pick the Democratic primary guy for the House and then go down the ballot. So the other thing you could do is figure out a much more open system. There's an argument to be made about it that Republicans and Democrats both have a brand. And so the party has a right to essentially choose somebody who represents the party views. The one thing I'm going to be intrigued by is when we get 2 years from now, will we see more people run as independents? You know, there's a serious independent mm-hmm. race in Kansas where an independent is running against an incumbent Republican senator. Will we see more independent runs for governor, which I think is around the corner? I think people are fed up. You know, there's this double hater thing that was out there, and people keep saying, well, now that it's gone, because now people like Kamala, they didn't like Biden. But I think there's still a lot of people who are just so frustrated with the system. I mean, it's, you know, my podcast is called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. And we try to focus on where those orphans are who are just sort of bewildered by what the hell's going on.
And don't you think a lot of young people are really, really turned off by the whole system?
Under the age of 30, they do not register with either party. So if Arizona and Nevada, I think, are an indication of where the world's heading, independents are now the largest single registrants. Even if you look at Pennsylvania, it's about a third, and a third. New Hampshire, unaffiliated, that's their fancy word for independents, are actually the largest registering bloc, too. And I think this pace is going to accelerate. I really do. I think we're sort of at a time in the system, like in the early 1900s, where things were going to break through. I mean, I don't think most people realize that before the progressive era, there was no such thing as a secret ballot. It actually came from Australia. It was almost so much machine politics, sort of the old Tammany Hall thing. They'd give you a pre-filled ballot to turn in.
Oh, really?
How's that for crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
And, and La Follin and company were the ones who forced direct election of U.S. senators, because before they got, they used to get picked by the legislature.
And then
the legislatures were controlled by the machines, and so you didn't have much independence in the Senate. So we're sort of in that era. I don't know what's going to come out of this, but I think the model, you know, the state should be models of experiment. If Alaska wants to play with ranked choice voting, God bless them. I mean, if Nebraska wants to completely open up its primary system, that's great. You know, the more the better.
Yeah, open primaries, open elections, you can't really quantify what's going on with that kind of system. There's no way to predict. There's no way to manipulate the system. So it does create kind of a flat feel for most people who run, right?
Yeah, although, you know, name ID and money still matter. And even with ranked choice voting at the end of the day, the odds are in most states, right? In Alabama, are you really going to have a Democrat show up on the ballot as a result of ranked choice voting?
Right.
You'd probably end up with two Republicans. And frankly, they have jungle primaries in California. And usually what you end up with is two Democrats running against each other. So I think we...
That's the problem with that.
Yeah. I think we all need to go into these just with eyes wide open. And again, try and run with it. It can't hurt. And but we also have to realize that sometimes when you monkey around with the stuff, you make it worse rather than better.
Well, I don't know where we're going to go with it, but I think money is also one of the big issues, and I don't know how we're ever going to get money out of the election system. Is it possible? Is there any kind of plan? Does anybody have a system going that takes that money out?
Well, I mean, a lot of other countries have all kinds of things. You know, England actually only has an election cycle that I think is 8 weeks. God bless them.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, my God.
Like the way to go.
Well, I mean, look at what Trump did. He's been running... since 2016.
Yeah, really.
Every day.
Never stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the question is, are any of the stories the same on day to day?
Exactly.
I've described Trump as like a jazz sax player. He just sort of riffs every day on whatever comes into his mind. And whatever he played at the show Wednesday night, he doesn't remember on Thursday.
Well, that kind of poisons jazz a little bit.
Scott, can you stick around here for a few more
minutes? Absolutely.
Can we talk about gas stoves?
Yeah, we're gonna get into the gas stove the debate that never ends.
The important debate.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I got criticism from, you know, some of our listeners that I wasn't hard enough on you.
No.
But we'll just have some
fun.
Can
I read
it.
The New York Times to illuminate you?
Yes, you can.
We got a minute here.
Definitely bring that up.
Yeah. All right. We'll get
to just a few moments.
Okay. We'll get to that. More with Scott Klug. He is the host of Lost in the Middle podcast here on civicmedia.us. Back with more of the John and Gordy Show on 92.7 WMDX.
Voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President
President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show, overlooking State Street, a block away from the confused and vacant Capitol at this point. You know, just I can't wait till the election. I hope it changes a little bit of what's going on at the Capitol, because it's so predictable at this point. You know, not a lot of funding for anything that helps the public, and it's mostly waiting around to save up a little bit more money for a gigantic tax cut.
You can't wait.
That's what they're looking for. Yeah.
We're back here with Scott Klug, talking about election reform, and now it's time to turn our attention to the never-ending gas stove debate between John and Scott. Okay, well, who wants to go first?
Here's the story. So what this podcast that I do on the Lost Political Middle literally started because a guy grabbed me in the cereal aisle of a grocery store as I was reaching, says the moderate Republican, to buy a bag of granola just to show my true Madison credentials. And the guy said, Scott, you know, this is interesting. You did such a good job when you were in. I was a Democrat, but I voted for you. So for your listeners who are under the age of 90, yeah. I served in Madison from 90 to 98, got elected, and I quit because there was a term limit guy. But anyway, so he said, and here's what drives me crazy. I'm at both the political parties are nuts. The Republicans are running around the country pulling middle school books off the shelves, and the Democrats are trying to take the gas stove out of my kitchen. So I was challenged on this very show saying I was making this up. It was Republican talking points. Here, the New York Times, the Bible of all things tilting left. New York to ban natural gas, including stoves in new buildings. So it is a real threat from the Democrats. And yes, books are being pulled off the shelves by lots of crazy Republicans in other parts of the country.
Well, that's true. Okay. I mean, you know, both sides. But here's the thing about banning gas. Gas is going to be banned in apartment complexes and new buildings that are being put up. And I don't remember, I'm from the real estate industry, I don't remember ever going into an apartment complex that was for sale that had gas stoves in them.
You were in the real estate business a long time ago.
It was.
You know, we have a granddaughter in St. Paul. Yeah. We have a small little apartment, and it has a gas stove in it. That was actually one of the deciding factors because
Was it a new apartment?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it seems
Tim Walz hadn't gotten to it yet.
It would be, yeah, that's right. But it would seem like a very dangerous proposition having gas stoves in apartment complexes. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I think people could figure out how to turn gas stoves on and off. And the lines don't blow up. Have you covered stories lately about apartment buildings blowing up all over the country?
Well, we have seen buildings blow up. And the reason why gas lines aren't blowing up in apartment complexes because they don't build them.
I think that, you know, the issue is really whether it's a health hazard for you in your apartment or
that
house.
That is the issue.
That's the
reform. But, and you were talking about a ban on gas stoves, and I took issue with that because they're not banning gas stoves. They're changing the standard for gas stoves so that they don't leak as much gas and
could you
and
please
not as
could you
fuming.
Please read that? Do you think in the morning I got up and I'm going to I'll create a fake page out of the New York Times?
Yeah,
to drive these two guys crazy.
All right,
New York Times. Yeah. Here's the headline: New York to ban natural gas, including stoves in new buildings. That was announced. April of 23.
That's just a headline. What are they talking about when they're saying banning gas stoves? I want to know because they're banning
New York may soon become the first state in the nation to ban natural gas in new construction.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. They shouldn't be there. People should not have gas stoves in apartment complexes. Now, in a home, you're always going to have a gas line going into the home, and whatever that a homeowner wants to do with that gas line is their business. They can put a gas stove in if they want. They could have some gas guy come in and put a line into that gas stove. It doesn't stop homeowners from having gas stoves. It has a way to stop these developers from putting gas stoves in apartment
buildings.
Now, I've
got to bring another story in because that's exactly what Chicago's doing.
Okay.
All right. Tell me. Fill me in.
They're banning it in townhouses and single homes.
Are they?
The Chicago City Council.
Oh, they are.
I will forward it to my favorite morning host.
Okay.
And we'll just leave it from my perspective. Republicans pulling middle school books off the shelves is vast overreach. And the Democrats now saying we're going to ban gas stoves is crazy.
That is crazy.
And you know who will lead the fight against this if it gets really serious?
Tell us.
And this is a crowd that I would venture does not lean right. Professional chefs. It's much better to cook with gas heat because you can control it than an electric range.
I will acquiesce there. I will actually say yes, there should be an exemption for restaurants and give them the ability to still and continue to use gas stoves because chefs obviously can't do it with gas. I mean, electric. I'm losing my vision here.
It's a little too bright for you with the sun coming out now.
Well, the sun is actually right in my eyes.
Well, Gordy's in the other room. He's closing the blinds.
Unless Scott has become incredibly
radiant.
Yes. Yeah, radiant. Okay. Do we have time here? How much time do we have?
About a minute and a half.
About a minute and a half. Okay. Well, I had all this prepared.
You had more materials.
But
this,
yeah, so Scott came in loaded for bear on this thing, and he's mentioned a few crazy places in our country that are going a little overboard with the ban on gas stoves.
Okay, but let's talk a more pressing, immediate issue. Right. So I'm involved in a bipartisan effort in Wisconsin.
Yes.
With J.B. Holland, former Republican Attorney General, Mandela Barnes, who ran for the Senate, Mike Tatey used to be the Democratic chair, in a group called Defend Democracy. And the four of us want to make it very clear to all your listeners that there are no substantial issues in the Wisconsin election system. For my friends who are believers in the Trump conspiracy, here's the thing you have to know, that if Trump had gotten all of the votes that Republican congressional candidates got in 2020, he would have won Wisconsin by 40,000 votes. So the fact is there was a huge drop-off. So we should talk more about the fact that the system is working just fine.
We'll do that next time, Scott. We're all out of time. Have a great day.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, J.R. Ratcliffe to talk all things sports. This Shouldn't Be a Thing wraps it up. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 11.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wi.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.